The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We have Roe McDermott, the journalist who's the advice columnist with the Irish Times, and Damian McLaughlin, Professor of Marketing at the Michael Smurfit Business School at UCD, with us for the week trending. And Roe, I'm not a fan of gardening. All these people recommending that it's a great way to spend your time. And I think proof has been provided by Brian May of Queen, who has suffered the type of injury which I think might be quite common amongst gardeners. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I feel for Brian May because people are at home, they're doing workouts at home, they're working in their gardens, and injuries might happen and they're too scared to go to hospital. I myself messed up my ankle and been on crutches at home for the past week. But Brian May had a slightly more embarrassing injury when he had a gardening injury that tore muscles in his buttocks, and in recovery, he's used his time well because he's using his time not being able to sit down properly. But he's tweeting about Boris Johnson and animal rights. So not even a literal pain in the ass is going to stop Brian May from telling us what he's passionate about.
He's torn his glutes. Now, a lot of people who go to the gym and they try and tone their glutes and know that it can be very sore until you get it right. But this is the problem. I see this as a different issue. This is the problem with gardening. The injuries that you can do yourself, your back is wrecked from getting down into the mud and amongst all the various weeds and flowers and all the rest of it. Why do people recommend gardening as being supposedly good for you when all it does is strain your muscles?
Well, this thing, because people are now doing a lot of activities that they wouldn't normally dedicate so much time to, and because people are spending hours in their gardens a day now, they are using the running in ways that their muscles might be trained to do or that they're not warmed up for. So yeah, injuries are more common. But I think, yeah, not being able to sit down properly in the time of coronavirus, that just seems to like insult upon injury.
Damien, are you going to defend the gardeners of Ireland as their hobby?
Matt, I'm an avid gardener, and I get up early in the morning to go out and to do some gardening before the day starts, and I try and finish the day with it. I have to say, it's incredibly relaxing. My garden probably doesn't look much different to somebody's garden where no gardening is done, but it's an extremely pleasurable exercise, and particularly in this time, it's very pleasant to plant something in the darkest of days and see it grow as we are now, this lovely warm weather, everything is coming out. But I thought this Brian May is typical Brian May stuff. He takes the opportunity, this small injury that he has, to go on about animal welfare, air pollution, fossil fuels, environmental damage, high-speed rail link, gross inequality, the need for a radical rethink of society. And then to cap it all, to cap the hypocrisy of the whole thing, he said that Queen are re-examining the way that they tour. Surely if his views were that strong, he would already decided that they're not going to tour anymore. So the gardening is a cover, Matt, here, and his buttock muscles, as they're referred to politely, are a cover for a middle-aged man or an older man at this point of a rant.
Okay, I want to move up back to you, Ro. Tell us about the Adele photograph, which has caused so much internet debate all week.
Yeah, this story really depressed me because Adele put out a photograph on her Instagram. Adele is generally quite quiet on social media, doesn't engage usually, but she put up a photo of herself and she was celebrating people who have been working for the NHS and people who have been on the front lines helping fight coronavirus. And immediately, instead of focusing on the message or of what she was saying, people immediately started commenting because she's lost a lot of weight and started commenting on her body and complimenting her, but in a way that is, I think, really damaging. And I've written about this before in the past. I think people's obsession with commenting on people's weight loss, even if in their minds it's a compliment, is incredibly damaging, because people, first of all, lose weight for many reasons that aren't to do with good health or a desire to lose weight. People lose weight because of illness or emotional trauma. They lose weight because of eating disorders, medication changes. And in circumstances like these, complimenting someone on their weight loss translates to telling them, you may be unhappy and unhealthy right now, but it's worth it because I value you more when you're slimmer. And the assumption that being smaller or slimmer is always necessarily a positive thing or is just something that people should comment on, I think, is really damaging. I personally had an eating disorder in my teenagers and I was really depressed. I was the unhealthiest I had ever been. But when people complimented me on my weight loss, it confirmed every fear I had, that people did not care how I was doing, but they did value me more when I was slimmer. And I think the jump to comment on people's bodies just perpetuates these these issues in people individually and systemically, because unfortunately fat phobia and judging people's bodies is still systemic and has real implications for people's weight, for their health, their mental health, how they're treated in society, even their weight. With people who are deemed to be fat or who are fat have been shown to be perceived as less intelligent, they make less money, doctors don't give them as much attention during healthcare because they assume that every problem is to do with their weight, which has been proven to be not true. Like, there have been multiple studies coming out and combating myths about weight and health and saying that actually it's not as much of an issue as we've been led to believe. So I think just commenting on people's bodies and asserting that being thin equates to being healthy, equates to being better, I think is really damaging.
Okay, what do you make of this, Damien McLaughlin?
It's a very, very tricky one, Matt, and I find myself agreeing with most of what Rose says here from a personal self-care point of view. I would slightly disagree with her. I think there is some evidence that if you're slightly overweight or slightly over what your BMI is, that can give you more resilience in hard times. I'm not a scientist, it's not my area of expertise. I'm just a citizen on this topic. But I think if a person is overweight, and I'd never comment on another person's size, to be honest with you, but you know, a lot of people are overweight, and that is not a healthy place to be.
Yeah,
but
and shouldn't they be encouraged here, if they lose weight, Damien?
Sorry,
should
Matt?
They be encouraged? Because if it is medically known that it's better for people not to be obese, should they not be encouraged if they do lose weight and be congratulated on that?
Of course they should be, Matt. And I think one of the things, you know, of COVID-19, I think, is everybody is, first of all, because we have the time, and secondly, because we have the reminder that actually, you know, you actually do need to look after your health. And if you are overweight, it is a complication. It does appear to be at least a complicating factor in the case of COVID-19. But listen, this Adele, I'm not a huge fan of the music, Matt. I think it's bland. But she seems to be a thoroughly decent human being. I've seen a little, some interviews with her, perfectly normal human being. She goes on social media to congratulate or thank the NHS workers, frontline workers in the UK. And the intersectional feminist lobby, as somebody described it on Twitter, rains down on her like the you know, fires from the heaven. I mean, what are you actually supposed to do here? Her choice about how she looks, she may or may not have a choice, as Rose said. Maybe she's in ill health. I don't think she is, but maybe she is. But it's her choice, perhaps, to look healthier, as how her fitness instructor described it. And now she's attacked primarily by women, it seems to me, because she's not portraying the right kind of image. It's crazy.
Lobby. So if they could send their contact details to me if there's any funding available, awesome. I haven't seen anybody attacking Adele personally. I think the women who have been criticized, and the people generally who have been critical of this discourse, have been attacking the discourse. No, I haven't seen literally anybody say that Adele herself is putting in a negative image. And I think that's the problem. If Adele literally just put up a photo of herself and immediately people started jumping to comment on her body, and that is the problem. And just on the topic of health and weight, I will say there have been repeated studies that have come out of Harvard and Stanford saying that BMI is not an adequate measure to be used in someone's weight because it doesn't differentiate between fat and muscle. It's also said that having a slightly higher BMI can be a good thing and prolong people's life. And there's an excellent article by Michael Hobbs called Everything, that was published on the Huffington Post this year, called Everything You Knew About Obesity Is Wrong. And it goes into the myth around being overweight and how that we have these perceptions that it increases the chance of being in ill health. And actually, a lot of those have been disproven. And the way that a lot of people are slim and still deeply unhealthy is overlooked in society. And so again, it's this false equation between your weight or your body shape and health, which I think is really damaging.
I'd agree with all of that. The difficulty is how you understand your own health and how you understand in a case your own obesity. It's not okay to be obese. It is bad for your health to be obese. It has consequences, and those consequences are serious. I think when you're
and
a little bit overweight,
no one else's business apart from yours, what your health is, no matter what shape you are, what size you are, your health is absolutely your business, and for people to look at your body, make a judgment that is probably incorrect about the state of your health. And the fact is, we do not look at thin people and say, I'm going to make a judgment about your health and I'm going to tell you that I'm concerned about you. And so the concern around people's weight is fat phobia wrapped up in concern, because we don't express these concerns around people when they're slim. We don't say, I don't know how much you're eating, I don't know if you're eating healthily. We don't make that
I think in fairness, Ro, I think we do. I think if somebody is 3 or 4 stone overweight, 50 or 60 pounds overweight, I think somebody would say that. And equally, if a person was 50 or 60 pounds underweight, I think somebody would comment on that.
And maybe try and provide help to people. Actually, I'm going to leave it there. You know what? I actually think this is something that I'm going to ask one of our resident doctors, maybe Dr. Dermot O'Leary, to speak about in our weekly health spot on Wednesday here in The Last Word on Today FM. Damien, who is the Manchester City and England footballer Kyle Walker, or why is he at the moment in the media spotlight?
Well, Matt, Kyle is a pretty talented player for Manchester City. He's been in the news a little bit since the lockdown occurred last month. Apparently, he was photographed in his undergarments with two young ladies handing over some money for services provided. And then this week, apparently, he broke the lockdown again, Matt, and he's taken a right hammering in the press for it. He's explaining, obviously, a young man with some vulnerabilities at the moment, and it's like with a lot of talented sports people and so on. Now the sport is not there. He has no structure to his day. And what he's reported is he went to see his sister, to get a hug and to feel the love, and then went to his parents' house. But nonetheless, he's taken a hammering, Matt. It seems to me it's a continuation of the attack on particularly young men in the media, young white men. Young working class men is a better way rather than race, I think. And Kyle Walker is just the latest victim of this, particularly in the British press, but not just in the British press. It's a very, very sad tale. You can imagine the kind of surveillance they have him under now, given the incident earlier in the month and now this one. It's a really terrible story.
Okay, Ro McDermott, would you share Damien's sympathy there that, you know, he says, well, I'm going through a tough period of life, so give me a break. Aren't there lots of other people going through tough periods in their life, but yet they still obey the lockdown rules?
Yeah, look, I think as a footballer, he can be a role model to his young fans, and there is a sense there of he could have been more responsible, and the fact that he apologised beforehand and his first apology says, I want to reiterate this message, stay home and stay safe. So, yeah, of course he messed up. But I do agree with Damien on a lot of those points, because tabloid journalists were literally following him. They were staying outside his house for a week. They followed him to his sister's house. They followed him to his parents' house. And this seems to be becoming more and more the norm for celebrities. Laura Whitmore tweeted during the week to say that tabloid journalists are sitting outside her home taking photos whenever she leaves for some exercise. So people who are already in the public eye, even during this time, have no sense of privacy. Everybody is going through a state where we've no sense of normalcy, but that sense of normalcy is being taken even further by these journalists who are making people feel under more surveillance, feeling self-conscious, even leaving the house, which of course is going to impact people's mental health, which is already under stress right now. And I think, you know, at a time when we all spoke about Caroline Flack and how she needed support, I think it is really damaging to just pile on people in these ways. And I think he has been, you know, the club he plays for have made a statement saying they're going to look at it and that he's been reprimanded. But he came out and said at a time where the focus was understandably on COVID-19, at what point does mental health get taken into consideration, an illness which affects every sufferer differently? I'm a human being with feelings of pain and upset, just like everybody else. Being in the public eye as a professional athlete does not make you immune to this. It is sad, but I feel like my life has been scrutinized with this context. And I think the thing is, someone is being publicly shamed and people are jumping on it online to make comments, like, what is your intention in tweeting at them and abusing them? Focus on your own behaviour. Everyone should be making an effort. But these attempts to pile on to people who have expressed publicly that they're feeling vulnerable, I just don't think they're helping.
Well then, Ro, do you have any sympathy with the British government advisor on COVID-19 who had to quit his position because he broke the lockdown rules to meet his, inverted commas, lover?
Yeah, so this is Neil Ferguson, who is an epidemiologist and he was an advisor to the UK and contributed to the rules regarding the lockdown in the UK, and has spoke publicly, and he's been very concerned about social distancing, said that up to 100,000 people in the UK could die this year if they don't obey social distancing. He stressed the dangers of not social distancing. And then he was caught going over and meeting his girlfriend. And look, I think leadership is playing a vital role in how countries react to this. We've seen this in the differences of how country leaders have reacted and how the numbers have been affected. And of course, this is hypocritical. I think he was right to stand down from his position. But I think, however, it's very important to ask what stories are getting told and when. This story broke on May 6th when Britain broke the record for death in Europe. And this was the front page story. It was on the Daily Telegraph. It took up 2/3 of the front page. And then the very bottom was a tiny one paragraph story about the chief scientific advisor saying that Britain's failure to ramp up testing in the UK and the delay in shutting down the country played a major role in the fact that Britain now has the highest death rate in Europe. And look, sex sells. Sex scandals sell, and it's very easy to criticise an individual and get distracted by a sex scandal story because it's easy to point out the hypocrisy of individuals, but it is systemic failures here that have cost Britain so many lives. It's systemic hypocrisy, Damon, and irresponsibility and selfishness and greed because the economy was prioritised over human lives, and I think that should be the focus, not one individual.
Damien, this story also, the Daily Telegraph led the way, and it's not normally known for revealing stories about the sex lives of prominent individuals, particularly when it has championed its former columnist, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, had no problem with him last year when he left his ill wife, who had cancer, for his new partner, who has now given birth to their child. And he's also a man, we don't know how many children he actually has, because he'll never actually confirm it. They attack Niall Ferguson for his morals.
Well, listen, let's be in the real politic of this, Matt. Boris Johnson's around the same age as I, a little bit older than me. He's around about our age, myself and yourself. And frankly, I don't care how many kids he has. It's none of my business. And it's none of anybody else's business. The British media operates on the basis of Benny Hill. You know, let's have an odd-looking older man, preferably a nicer-looking younger woman, and let's make a big story of that. Also, I'm a big fan of the Telegraph, and there's many fine journalists in that, but it is the house newspaper of the Tory party, and the Tories have handled this campaign so badly that they needed cover, and I entirely agree with Roe on this one. But if I might just stand up for Niall Ferguson, who's not somebody that I know at all. He's a scientist, and he's modelling effects. I don't think he's the one who stands up and says, I want everybody to stay at home tomorrow. And I actually think he behaved quite honourably in this situation. You knock the story dead right away. You walk away from it. I assume he still has his relationship, which is, I'm sure it's a normal consensual relationship between two adults. And I'm equally sure that his scientific input, which is truly world-class, is still there in the background for the British people.
Yeah, it did strike me. It was remarkable how some of the British papers decided to use a bigger photograph of her than they did of him on their front pages.
And
I noticed as well, you say about the Telegraph used to be a great paper, but I think Damien has now turned into a British version of Breitbart News, albeit.
Matt, I find it harder and harder to disagree with you on that. There's still some fine journalists in it, but I'm finding it harder to disagree with you on that, yeah.
Okay. Any Fungi fans here? I certainly know that there are many enjoyable trips down to Dingle going out to see Matt, Fungi the dolphin. No, listen, Damien, you're not?
Matt, you and I, before we knew each other, used to be in the Dingle Skellig, the great Dingle Skellig Hotel. Our kids are the same age, if you remember that. Down in the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning getting bottles of milk for kids that were crying and wouldn't go to sleep. Walking up and down the corridor with the crying kids. And the absolute misery of my life was my kids wanting to go out in the boat to see the bloody dolphin. I think this is I compliment Mr. Flannery, Jimmy Flannery in Dingle, and I think Kerry people are terrific. This is a great marketing story. They've been running it for nearly 40 years. I hope they get another 40 years out of it. I hope Jimmy's Dingle ceasefire gets back to business as quickly as possible. But the idea, had Fungi become bloody lonely, Matt, really?
Intelligent fish. It's a fish that's also living for a very, very long time, Rose. It's living about twice or three times as long as most dolphins manage.
Yeah, the average lifespan of a dolphin is between 8 and 15 years, and fungi was apparently first spotted in 1983, which makes them older than me. So, yeah, sure. If fungi is lonely, or is it possibly fungi the seventh at this stage? But let's not talk about that.
Hang on, I know they're very clever down in Kerry, but how could you train a dolphin to perform? Maybe it is just there are examples of dolphins that live very long. And in fairness, it always comes up alongside the boat, and it is actually lovely to watch. No, Damien?
I don't know what's lovely about it, Matt. You go out in the bay, even in a lovely day, it's cold, it's wet. You've got all these other tourists and kids, but you're circling around waiting for this fish to come out of the water. And, Matt, training animals is really easy. We have a dog here. His name is Des. We call him Des Brown. That dog will do anything for food, and so will a dolphin. You give him some bit of something or other, and he'll do whatever you say. Again, I'm a big fan of Dingle. I'm not so fond of dolphin. I wish them good luck, but I just thought this is a real Friday afternoon story. You know, the dolphin is lonely. Really.
Okay, right.
There's a lot
better
of
have fun
in this country, Matt, but the dolphin isn't one of them.
Okay, a final story, please, Roe McDermott. I'm going to set you the task of pronouncing the name of the new baby born to Grimes and Elon Musk.
Oh, God. Okay, speculation is rife that it's something like X-Archangel, except it's spelled X, a Latin symbol, A-12. And this is a new name for the baby for Elon Musk and Grimes. And I mean, that baby was going to have issues enough in their life anyway with those parents, apart from this name being coming out. But yeah, they've announced this name that nobody knows how to pronounce. Canadian singer Grimes, whose real name is Claire Boucher, explained the name's meanings on her fan. She said that AE is a ligature of A and E, known as Ash. It appears in Latin and Old English, but has mostly fallen out of use, but it's one of her favourite symbols. She's used it in a song and an album title. The A-12 is a Lockheed plane built for the CAA, and it was known by designers during its development as Archangel. So, of course, why wouldn't you name your child after that? But the thing that drove me absolutely crazy about this story was that Grimes was on Twitter. She was explaining the name to fans. She was explaining why she was passionate about it. And she had a typo in her explanation, and Elon Musk corrected her publicly on Twitter. And she had to send a message to Elon Musk on Twitter saying, "I am recovering from surgery. I am barely alive. Please forgive any typos." Yeah, this relationship and that baby are going to grow up without issues. What?
Okay, and just to finish, we have been reprimanded by quite a few people, particularly from Dingle and Kerry. Yes, fungi is a mammal, not a fish. Thank you very much, Roe McDermott and Damien McLaughlin, for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.